Well, now turn to 1 Kings 22. 1 Kings 22. And read 1 through 35. Let us hear the word of God. And they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. It came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said to his servants, "Know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria?" He said to Jehoshaphat, "Wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead?" And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, "I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses." And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, "Inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today." Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said to them, "Shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear?" And they said, "Go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king." And Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides, that we might inquire of him?" And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, "There is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. But I hate him, for he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil." And Jehoshaphat said, "Let not the king say so." Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, "Hasten hither, Micah the son of Imlah." And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, sat each on his throne, having put on their robes in a void place in the entrance of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets prophesied before them. Zedekiah the son of Kenaniah made him horns of iron and said, "Thus saith the Lord, with these shalt thou push the Syrians until thou have consumed them." And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, "Go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the king's hand." And the messenger that was gone to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying, "Behold now, the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good." And Micaiah said, "As the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak." So he came to the king, and the king said to him, "Micaiah, shall we go up against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear?" And he answered him, "Go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king." And the king said to him, "How many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord?" And he said, "I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills, a sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace." And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "Did I not tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me, but evil?" And he, that is Micaiah, said, "Hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab, that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead?" And one said on this manner, and another said on that manner. And there came forth his spirit, and stood before the Lord, and said, "I will persuade him." And the Lord said to him, "Wherewith?" And he said, "I will go forth, and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets." And he said, "Thou shalt persuade him, and prevail also. Go forth and do so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee." But Zedekiah, the son of Chenaniah, went near and smote Micaiah on the cheek and said, "Which way went the spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee?" And Micaiah said, "Behold, thou shalt see in that day, when thou shalt go into an inner chamber, to hide thyself." And the king of Israel said, "Take Micaiah, and carrying back and to Aman, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, thus saith the king, put this fellow into prison, feed him with bread of affliction, and with water of affliction, until I come in peace. Micaiah said, if thou return at all in peace, the Lord hath not spoken by me. And he said, hearken, O people, every one of you. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth Gilead. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself and enter into the battle, but put thou on thy robes. And the king of Israel disguised himself and went into battle. But the king of Syria commanded his 32 captains that had rule over his chariot, saying, fight neither with small or great, save only with the king of Israel. It came to pass when the captains of the chariot saw Jehoshaphat that they said, surely it's the king of Israel. And they turned aside to fight against him. And Jehoshaphat cried out. And it came to pass when the captains of the chariots perceived that it was not the king of Israel, that they turned back from pursuing him. And a certain man drew a bow at a venture, and smote the king of Israel between the joints of the harness, before he said unto the driver of his chariot, turn thine hand and carry me out of the host, for I'm wounded. And the battle increased that day, and the king was stayed up in his chariot against the Syrians, and died at even. And the blood ran out of the wound into the midst of the chariot. As far as God's holy word, dear congregation, we wish to turn with you to the chapter we've read together, 1 Kings 22, and read 13 and 14 as our focus. When we hear the word of God, 1 Kings 22, 13, and the messenger that was gone to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying, behold now, the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good. Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. Our theme is really good words, as we find that in our text. You can see that in verse 13, it says, speak that which is good. But the words that which is in our italics, it says, speak good, God's good words. That's what Micaiah said. That's what I will speak. You can also say God's wisdom. As we contemplated that as a theme in this past week's youth camp, first place, we will see that it's recognized, second, requested, and thirdly, rejected. So God's good words, or God's wisdom, recognized by all, really, by both Ahab and Jehoshaphat, requested also by both, and rejected really by both, even Jehoshaphat. Children, you know who these two men are, these two kings, Ahab and Jehoshaphat. Ahab was a very wicked king. He ruled over Israel, over the 10 tribes. You can find in the previous chapters the terrible things he did. It says he did sell himself in 21 at the end, in verse 25, to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel, his wife, stirred up. He did very abominably in following idols, according to all things as did the Amorites, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. An awful testimony. He was a thoroughly wicked man, entirely giving over to corruption. Not only following his forefathers in worshipping the golden calf, but even also worshipping the gods of Sidon, Baal, and Ashtoreth. Sexual immorality and distorted and perverted iniquity. Joshua, on the other hand, was a God-fearing king. He ruled over Judah, two tribes. In 2 Chronicles 17, verse 3, where we read the parallel account of the same history, we read about Jehoshaphat that the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father David. He worshipped the Lord. So, young people, you have it as we had in our camp set before us here. Jehoshaphat was a wise man. And children, he was building on the rock. And you know that from Matthew 7 and the song of the wise man building on the rock. When the storm came, his house still stood. And you see that happen here with Jehoshaphat. But Ahab was a man building his house on the sand. He was building a lot of stuff on it too. But when the storm came, he fell and his fall was terrible. He was building on the sand. But now we see the disturbing thing about Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 18, these two chapters 17 and 18, you find the same account as here in Kings, but a few extra details. We read there that Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance. And, we read, joined affinity with Ahab. In his riches, in his prosperity, he became friends with wicked Ahab. You wonder what led up to that. Just like David, when he sinned with Bathsheba. You wonder how their devotional life was prior to this moment. How is your devotional life? Are you ready for the temptation of prosperity and riches and honor? And with whom do you join affinity or friendship? Actually, the word affinity is more than just friendship. It is friendship through marriage. That's really what the word affinity stands for. Rulers in those days did it a lot to strengthen alliances with each other and seal it with marriage. Because Ahab and Jezebel had a daughter, Athaliah, who married Joram, Jehoshaphat's son. So friendship, young people and older ones, is a beautiful thing. So is marriage. But who is our partner? Who is our friends? What kind of friends do you have? Or what kind of friend are you to them? You know, perhaps the saying that tell me who your friends are and I will tell you who you are. It's also true in marriage, these things. Because in order to find a good spouse, you'll have to be one. But let's look at how this unholy affinity develops further into an unholy alliance, as we read in the beginning of this chapter. It becomes right away evident that they both recognize the need to hear the word of God. Jehoshaphat requested, and Ahab seems to agree with that. Reading verse 5, Jehoshaphat said, as they were asked, as Jehoshaphat was asked in verse 4, first that he was asked by Ahab, will you go with me to battle Ramoth and Gilead, because the town belongs to us. Let's get it back from the king of Syria. He said, are you going with me? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art. All that's mine is yours. My people, thy people, my horses, thy horses. In other words, they get together in almost what you could say is a business venture. They join resources, they join forces, they become as one. It's an unholy alliance. But in spite of that, they recognize the need for the word of God. Certainly, Jehoshaphat, he initiates it. Verse 5, he said to the king of Israel, to Ahab, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Recognizing the need for God's good words and God's wisdom. So then we read that Ahab seems to agree. He gathers prophets together, 400 of them. So that's impressive. They got the majority. So many people, the multitude of counsels, there's got to be wisdom and safety, Proverbs says. So shall we go to battle? Or shall I forbear? Means, or shall I not go? And they say, go up, king, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. Yes, It's favorable. So all 400 prophets agree. Well, that's clear. Let's go. But Jehoshaphat doesn't trust it. He looks at all these 400 prophets and he asks an amazing question, because it seems that all these prophets speak on behalf of God, the Lord. And then Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides, that we may inquire of him? That's quite an indictment to the 400, isn't it? In other words, yeah, I hear all their voices, but I want really hear the word of God, the Lord. And you notice that Ahab realized and recognized all along that Micaiah really truly spoke the word of the Lord. In verse 8, the way he said it, listen, in verse 8, it says that he said to Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man. After Jehoshaphat's request, yeah, there is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. He doesn't speak good words to me. He always has something bad to say of what I'm doing and of who I am and about my plans. He doesn't speak good words to me. He hates me. And Joshua tries to soften it a bit and says, and he says, let not the king say so. In other words, it's my dear friend Ahab, it cannot be that bad. Let's get him anyway. So Ahab sends someone to get Micaiah from prison. We can't read that here where we read verse 9, then the king of Israel called an officer and said, hasten hither, Micaiah the son of Imlah. But we know that in verse 26, we read that when this whole thing is passed, the king of Ahab, the king of Israel, saying, take Micaiah, carry him back to Ammon. Ammon was the prison's guard, the prison's keeper. Verse 27, put this fellow in prison. So he was called out of prison and brought back to prison. That was his reward for speaking God's good word. But let's pause here a moment. See how this relates to our friendships. What about your affinities and alliances, your friendships? Who are you close with and close to? You see, if you're not a believer, if you're not born again, you're really like Ahab. You're still a hater of truth. You're still a hater of good works and good words. You're a sinner and you're a fool. Because sin is not only wickedness, iniquity, but it's folly. You may speak good words. You may do good things at times, just like Ahab did. He did good things. The end of chapter 21, we didn't read it, but you read there that when Ahab heard the word of God earlier, then he rent his clothes, put sackcloth on, fasted, lay in sackcloth, went softly, and the word of the Lord came to Elijah and said, seest thou Ahab humbles himself before me? Because he humbles himself, I will not bring the evil in his days, but in his son's days. Ahab recognized God's good word many a time. And so may you. At times, when you're convicted. But Ahab did the right thing at times, but with the wrong motive. So you do. If you're not a true believer, if you're not born again, you have a temporal blessing. Judgment was postponed for Ahab, but no eternal blessing. You probably have affinity with Jehoshaphat in your life, friendships with God-fearing people, a father, a mother, a spouse, a child, sibling, friends. It's a blessing for you, but are you a blessing to them or a burden? But dear believers, we too see here that being a wise man, a godly man, who walked with the Lord, as we read, who serve the Lord is not free from temptation to folly, and from acting really foolishly and wickedly. They can be building on the rock, on that one foundation, but what do we build on it? As Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 3:12, he says, we build on it, on that one foundation, which is Christ, we read in verse 11. Wood, hay, and stubble. Instead of gold and silver and precious stones. What kind of works do we build on that rock? Joshua was building with wood and hay and stubble. And it had to be burnt off. And it almost cost his life. That's what verse 13 in 1 Corinthians 3 speaks of. The fire shall try or test every man's work of what sort it is. And only that which is gold, silver, and precious stones will remain and be part of the edifice of our sanctification. So who are your friends? Who will you be dating? Who are you dating? They have the same goals. How do they influence your life? Do they bring you closer to God or draw you away from the Lord? Joshua was a God-fearing man. He loved the Messiah to come, but sinned sadly, grievously, dangerously in being friends with Ahab. So they both recognized God's good word or God's good words. They also requested it. Second place. They requested it. Micaiah was called from prison. It's interesting, isn't it, how God knows how to bring his word to bear. No prison can lock a servant, a prophet of God, if God does want him free. So he comes, and a messenger thought to be maybe be instructed by Ahab, I'm not sure, but it says in verse 13 that was called to get Micaiah, said to him in verse 13, behold now, the words of the prophets declare good unto the king. That was, of course, Ahab's version of good. With one mouth, let thy word, I pray thee, I plead with you, be like the word of one of them. Speak like them. Don't be again the odd one out. They knew him. Not for nothing that he was in prison. So, in other words, all the prophets are saying what the king wants to hear. You know what he wants to hear. Just say it. If you do the same, you'll be fine. You won't have to go back to prison. In other words, be politically correct. Say what the people want to hear. Say the right words. Say good words. Say nice words. Words which make everyone feel good, even if they are not good. Micaiah responds. 14, he says, as the Lord liveth, I swear, what the Lord saith to me, that will I speak. I will speak God's good word. Nothing else. So that's how he is on his way to the kings. They both sit in their thrones. And it seems like Micaiah is doing what the messenger pleaded with him to do. Quite ironic, really. If you read this history, it's sad. And if it wouldn't be so sad and solemn, it would almost be humorous. He says, in verse 15, he comes to the king and said to the king, when he answered him, shall we go up? Go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. He says the same words as these 400 men. You can imagine the surprise. They almost have looked at him and stared back at the king and Something must have given way. Perhaps it was the tone of voice or his look or whatever, facial expression, that he wasn't serious. He was really mocking everyone. And so Ahab is very angry and he says to Micaiah, how many times shall I adjure thee? How many times have I held you under oath to speak the word of God and nothing but the word of God? Adjure thee. That thou tell me nothing but that which is true or good. In the name of the Lord? Good words, right words, being requested, even by Ahab. He recognizes that Micaiah is not speaking the truth and he's angry that Micaiah is mocking him. While he's actually doing what he wanted Micaiah to do. He hears what he wanted to hear. And it was a lie. Which he actually would have loved, he hated the way it happened. He must have been in turmoil inside, angry, most of all. How many times did I tell you to tell me the truth in the name of the Lord? Speak truth to me. So, Micaiah does that. Courageously. He's invited. He's requested to do it. It's demanded of him. By the king. By God, but also by even King Ahab. In verse 17. He said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. He had a vision ahead of time when he was in prison. So it's very clear that he knew ahead of time what was coming. He had a vision. And the vision didn't look nice. It's like a mini parable, isn't it? Shepherd, dead. Sheep, scattered. Everybody understood it. He didn't have to say, King, you shall die. It was clear. They all knew it. They all recognized it. Ahab has to die. So Micaiah's good words are not good news. It's devastating to him. But yet it was meant to be good news. If only he had repented at that time, the Lord would have forgiven him, as in the previous chapter. There was one more, an exit. Young people, you understand, as we talked about that. Going by nature, highway to hell. And we pass all these exits, all these times when we are called to come aside and repent and believe the gospel and come to another highway, the way to glory. Ahab requested the truth and he got it. God's good words were proclaimed to him, but they were not pleasant to him. What will he do with it? But before we look at that, before we see how he responds, again, let's pause. What do you expect the man of God to say to you? Whether it's a prophet or whether it's an apostle or a preacher or even a fellow a believer. What do you expect from the word of God, from God's good words? What did you expect from youth camp, young friends? A wonderful time with your friends, and that's good. Friendships with Jehoshaphats, if you're still in Ahab, wonderful. Friendships with other Jehoshaphats to grow in grace, wonderful. I'm sure you really want to be dealt with honestly in life, don't you? You don't want people to deceive you, do you? Certainly not on the way to eternity. You want to hear and to know and do the truth, don't you? You don't want to be lied to and deceived by the people like these 400 prophets. These 400 prophets lied and deceived, but the people wanted it so. The king wanted it so. Isaiah 30:10, we read, prophesy not to us right things. They told the prophets, speak to us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. Don't tell me God's truth. Don't tell me God's good words and good word. But if you do, if you do want God's truth, and if you do want to be dealt honestly with and rightfully, then you desire the Lord Jesus, who is truth himself. Nothing but him. Then you desire to have him preached and set before you as the one and only hope for wisdom in your folly. Your only hope to become wise and to live wisely. Jesus Christ and him crucified and risen, because you know you need him. All that he has done for sinners such as you and I. And then it's your prayer, like Paul in Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. You know that you lack wisdom. We saw that at camp to it, chapter 30 in Proverbs, where we come to the end and the words of Agur, where he realizes that with all his wisdom, he's but a British man and he has no understanding. You'd think the wisest man would say, I got some. But he concludes that he's seen only the tip of the iceberg of his own folly, as well as the wisdom of God. Isn't it true that anything you become specialist in, you begin to more and more realize how it lacks? It's people that know little about things that usually talk the most and the quickest and the most sure. It's the people that realize, that know, and have gained wisdom and understanding speak less. What about you if you still don't love the Lord Jesus Christ? Maybe you say the same words, just like Ahab. Tell me the truth. I want to hear the truth. I want the truth preached to me. Nothing but the truth. And yet you delay coming to the Lord Jesus. You come here to hear the word of God, the good words. You call the prophets together. You call even the one, and you agree with Jehoshaphat and say, yes, let me hear the word of God. You say you want the truth, but you really put it in a prison. You lock it up. You don't use it. Just like Ahab put the truth in prison physically, you put the truth in your heart and hide it and leave it there, and you don't respond to it. Somewhere deep inside of you, and you don't act on it. Dear friend, it's utterly impossible. You can't lock up the truth. Micaiah had to come out of the prison to speak it, and it'll come out of your mouth one day. The very truth that you suppressed one day will condemn you unless you repent and believe the gospel even today. It'll come out to haunt you forever, as it undoubtedly did and is doing even this very moment for Ahab. So the truth is going to save you today or haunt you tomorrow. God's good words, recognized, requested by all, but also rejected by both. Well, what will Ahab do? Will he again repent as he did before at other occasions? Even if it's only in an outward way. And be blessed? Will he fall on his knees and ask for forgiveness? Will he cancel the battle? That seems the wise thing to do. But don't forget, it's still the one voice over against the 400. It may seem clear to us as we sit in church. Much harder in real life, daily life. What's Jehoshaphat going to do? Is he going to join the one prophet's side, or is he going to join with the crowd and the multitude and the majority? Is he going to be daring to stand alone with the one who speaks good words? Oh, that's a question, isn't it?
that comes to all of us. What do you do when your friend stands in a circle of friends with you and says something that's not right, that's wrong, and one person speaks up against it? Who are you going to join? The majority are the one who dares to be speaking God's good word. Who do you join? Who do you support? Those who love and speak God's good words, or those who speak bad words or tempt you to evil deeds, bad things? That's a choice we're called to daily. Not only young people and children, but older ones. We all are called to choose whom we will serve. That's one thing to do it in the morning in your devotion in church. It's another thing to do it at school or on the playground or at work. Ahab's response, we read in verse 18. He said to Joshua, "Didn't I tell you that he would prophesy no good concerning me but evil?" So first he chastised Micaiah for saying the thing he wanted to hear. Then he chastises Micaiah for speaking the thing that he doesn't want to hear. Shows that he recognizes the truth. And though he requested it, he was prepared to reject it. He didn't want it, even though these words were meant for his good. And then we find Micaiah speaking again, and he speaks of an amazing word. He's relating a vision that reminds us very much of what happened in the beginning of the book of Job. It's almost identical, really. Listen, verse 19. Micaiah said, "Hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne." In other words, I had another vision. I had two visions, actually. The first one that he saw, Israel scattered. But the second, of, I'm not sure which order they came to him, but he says, "I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab? Tempt him, that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead." Go up and fall. "And one said on this manner, another on another manner." They had all kinds of different advice. But then there came one spirit and stood before the Lord and said, "I will persuade him. I will persuade Ahab to do the wrong thing, the evil thing, the wicked thing. I will do it." It's almost like Satan standing before God. I will cause Job to fall. "And the Lord said to him, wherewith? He said, I will go forth, I'll be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. He said, thou shalt persuade him." God said, "Go ahead and do it. Prevail, go forth and do so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets. And the Lord has spoken evil concerning thee." Now these prophets did their own thing. They weren't forced to speak evil. Just like the three friends of Job weren't forced to say what they were saying. It was all part of God's plan, though. It's God's mysterious interaction with our will and mind to do the things we want to do. That's really God's withholding that allows us to do what we want to do. And so the Lord has his way. It was Ahab's time to fall. No excuse. The 400 prophets had no excuse. Ahab had no excuse. And we have no excuse. Amazing vision of God's throne room. Now you think Ahab would think twice about carrying out this war against Syria. But he's not impressed, evidently. He still thinks he's going to make it. Isn't that really what they think by nature? It's going to be okay in the end. Or before the end comes, I'll somehow find it tomorrow. I'll wait for a more convenient season. Not now. So he sends Micaiah back to prison. 26 and 27. Put this fellow, the word fellow is in italics. It's a really degrading term there. Put this outcast, this filth, in prison. Feed him with the bread of affliction, with water of affliction, until I come in peace. He still holds on.
Micaiah responds, he says, if you come back in peace, if we return at all in peace, the Lord has not spoken by me.
Now, that's a testimony of a true prophet, right? If the word comes about, it's a true prophet.
And then he cries out, as it were, he says, hearken, O people, every one of you. It's almost that he speaks to Ahab. And then one more cry before he's led away. Listen to the Lord. And then he's gone.
Ahab requested the truth, rejected it, even though he was warned that he'll die in it.
Of course, Ahab didn't know it. We do.
What did he not know?
That was the last time.
He did not know that it was the last time. He had, of course, been reproved so many times. He repented a couple times. He had sinned again and again and again. So one more time. I can repent later.
It was his last exit. And he drove past it.
Dear friend, if you're still an unbeliever, what if today is the last exit for you? What if it's this sermon is the last opportunity for you to be right with God? You're going to drive by it? Are you going to repent and submit to him who is wisdom, who is the good word, who's the word that became flesh and dwelt among us? Submit to him without any reservation. Confess your sin and put your trust in him. Where else would you put your trust? And when else? If indeed it's the last time. And note the persistent wickedness of this Ahab. See what a man does when he is pursuing the way of wickedness. How callous he becomes. How selfish. Look, what kind of friend is Ahab really for Jehoshaphat? Verse 30. The king of Israel, Ahab, said to Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself and enter into the battle and put down my robes. And the king of Israel disguised himself and went into battle. My dear friend Jehoshaphat, if the enemies recognize you, they'll kill me and I will be surviving. That's what he's saying. If you put on the royal robes, Jehoshaphat, you'll die and I will live.
Incredible.
Incredible. With friends like these, you have heard the saying, with friends like these, who needs enemies? You think Jehoshaphat will now turn around and run away from this place? I mean, even become a target, he might as well painted a big target on his back and on his chest. All the arrows would be for him.
King of Syria says so much. In verse 31, we read that he commanded his 32 captains ruling his chariots. He says, fight neither with small nor great, save, that means except only with the king of Israel. So he says, get after the king. Forget all the other people. Make sure you kill the king, because if you have the king, all the people will be scattered. And that was true in those days. If the commander fell, the army scattered.
You think you run away from this place. Haven't you had that, though, times where you conscience smote you, where everything seems to testify, don't go that way, and yet you go? He's in the wrong place, he's doing the wrong thing, and he goes on. A wise man, but what a fool he is.
Blind to the truth, so plainly said before him. Couldn't be more plain, really.
Couldn't be more foolish to go on that way. That Ahab acts like that is one thing, but that Jehoshaphat does it, it's quite another.
And then we see what happens, right? We know the history, children, you've heard it before. The people are all after Jehoshaphat. Surely it's the king of Israel, they say. And they turned aside to fight against him, and Jehoshaphat cried out, we read. He cried out. In Chronicles, we read that Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him. And God moved them to depart from him. So when they saw, it says here that they perceived that it was not the king of Israel, they turned back from pursuing him. In Chronicles, we read that it was God who did it. The Lord helped Jehoshaphat, and he caused the others to move away. That was strange. They were clearly blinded, so that they would not pursue the king, because he was a target. Having the only one with royal robes, so the Lord caused them to recognize his face. And then Ahab died. You know that was a soldier had perhaps his last arrow and shot it into the crowd of enemies where one was hiding, trying to hide from God. But the arrow found him. Always well. If we do not hear his word, his judgment will come. We can hide, we can crawl away, we can call mountains, cover us, hills, cover us for the wrath of God, but it shall come. And it came. For a while he propped himself up yet in his chariot, but he died. That's his end. Perhaps you think by yourself, what fools. What fools. Ahab sinned grievously. And finally, Jehoshaphat sinned grievously, but not finally. They were fools. What about you, friend? Young friend, older friends, children, older people, old people. It's easy to recognize the sins and folly in other people. You can see it and you perhaps shake your head, and 5 minutes later you do the same or worse. And then you don't shake your head. Let's look at ourselves. Do you really want to hear the truth? Do you really want to do the truth and worship the truth? Do you want your friends to flatter you or tell you what you need to hear? What you want to hear or what is really good for you? But also, do you tell your friends what they need to hear or what they want to hear? Can you and are you truly honest with each other? Or do you go with the flow, whatever way it flows at that time? Or do you dare to swim against the stream? Yes, you will hit all the garbage that comes downstream, even dead fish. Jehoshaphat should have stood with the one prophet. He didn't. He paid for it. But the Lord saved him, as we sang in that last Psalter. Do you really agree with Solomon's wisdom, Proverbs 27:6? Faithful are the wounds of a friend. So when a friend hurts you for good, are you thankful? But the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Isn't Ahab's kisses for Jehoshaphat almost caused his death? Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friends. Proverbs 27:17. Do you agree with that? Do you say, yes, that's truth? I want my friends to tell me the truth, even if it hurts. Is it really true? You say that, but do you accept it graciously? Do we accept it graciously, or do you find excuses? Or worse, find fault with the other person? I say, well, who are you to tell me this? Look at what you're doing. Never mind what the other person is doing. If he tells you the truth, ought we not graciously accept it and humbly acknowledge it and ask for forgiveness of God and of him, the person who speaks to you? Or perhaps you find fault with not his life, but with the way he tells you.
Ah, if he only wouldn't use those words, if he would say it in a nicer way, in a more kind way, and use a sandwich method, something nice first, and then the criticism, and then something good again, yeah, then I would listen. In other words, if you don't like the message, shoot the messenger. That's what you're doing then. But dear believer, we must be warned too. This is a solemn warning. We can be built on the rock. We can be a wise man in our state. Born again. A believer. A follower of the Lord Jesus. But how many times, like sheep, do we go astray? Back to folly's ways. May seem attractive. May seem appealing. May seem easy when we're in a group of friends or perhaps the people that we shouldn't be with or influence them for good. Don't stay and keep good friendships. You call them good if they're not really follow the good word of God. You cannot be intimate. You cannot have affinity and alliance with those who hate God and His word. We must be warned then, but also encouraged. Because we saw what happened to Jehoshaphat. Though he got in this trouble through his own folly, yet the Lord saved him. Not to excuse sin, not to think lightly of sin, but to keep us from despairing when we do fall in such folly. He did cry out. Was it the nick of time? Would it be better if he would have cried out much sooner and left that scene? Better early than late, but also better late than not at all. Are you, right now, convicted of your sins, of your folly? Whether you're a believer or not? Because we all ought to be convicted. We can recognize ourselves in both Ahab and Jehoshaphat if you know anything about the grace of God. Are you convicted then? What have you done already in your heart? And what should you be doing even right now? Repent and believe the gospel either for the first time if you're still an Ahab or by renewal and afresh if you are a Jehoshaphat. God will receive you. He will welcome you, even if it's in the nick of time, even if you're in your 80s or 90, or if you're a child. He receives sinners. 1 Timothy 1:15. I'll close with these words. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Amen. Gracious God, pour out thy wisdom into our hearts, Lord. We have heard it. We have recognized it. We have requested it by our coming to church today. We have said with our actions, we want to hear God's good words. But Lord, keep us from rejecting it. Grant that we would receive it in humility. Help us to realize, Lord, that we're proud when we reject it. We're proud when we continue to lock up the truth and not act upon it. Oh, that we would receive it for the first time or afresh. Be with all the Ahabs in our midst, Lord. Grant that they would repent in truth, not just externally, but cut them to the heart, that they may seek the blood of Jesus and find forgiveness and cleansing before it is too late. Oh, let none of us, Lord, pass by the last exit unconverted. Oh, that, Lord, we would treat it as if it's the last time. Even if it isn't, Lord, then there will be gain for thy glory, for our own well-being and peace, and for our fruitfulness in this world to be witnesses of thee. But also, Lord, for those that have backslidden and perhaps like Jehoshaphat have gotten into friendships and situations that are not good for their spiritual gain. Oh, keep them, Lord, from destroying themselves and their witness. Cleanse us, Lord, and go with us the rest of this day. Bless us also tonight when we have an opportunity to have many of our young people at our home to have a time of fellowship and singing and discussing what we've heard today. Grant that it may be discussed also in the families, Lord, that thy word would be meditated upon, not just heard, not just prayed over, but spoken about. Also around the coffee table and the dinner table. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.